Since Tom McIntyre was young, he followed the Reading FC, the team for him. And were he not quite frankly a baller, then he would likely have been going wild in the stands as the Royals picked up a late, late win and a late, late draw in the most dramatic of Easter weekends that virtually secured their championship status for another season. Welcome to the Tylerson Podcast, episode 297. We are getting right near that that milestone now of the 300th episode. I'm your host, Mark Mayer, and joining me to talk about this Easter weekend of action is Alan West. Westy, how's it going, mate?
Very good. Very exciting, as you already said. I was really not expecting that, and I think we've been thoroughly entertained over the last 2 days, so can't wait to get stuck into it, Mark.
Yeah, definitely. I think just the one result, the Sheffield United win 2-1 that we got at Bramall Lane, would have been exciting enough for us to talk about. And then we've got a 4-4 draw with Swansea to discuss as well. What a weekend that has been. In the sun as well, you can't really think of many ways to have improved it, really. So we'll get stuck into that in the recap in just a second. We'll have your mailbag coming up as well with your questions, a bit of news bites, and we'll look ahead to the whole game on Saturday as well. So without any further ado, let's thank, as always, our sponsors, ZCZ Films, and our Patreon subscribers, and get into the recap.
Come rain or shine, it's time to relive the latest match action with the recap.
This podcast is sponsored by ZCZ Films, Reading's oldest ultras.
Well, let's start then on Good Friday. I'll try and avoid making any Good Friday puns for the episode of the episode name of this podcast, but what a performance this was at Sheffield United, going into a game where, as we said on last week's show, I think they conceded 2 goals in their last 12 home games, having lost none of them. They were in the playoffs, then really going for it this season, having just dropped down from the Premier League. Really a team that you go to and you kind of say, this is a bit of a free hit, we'll take what we can get. And we were just surprisingly confident. They weren't particularly great. We kind of rose to the occasion a little bit. Lucas Schau got us 1-0 up, kind of, you know, certainly had a few chances to make it 2-0 as well. And it was just a surprisingly confident afternoon. And I suppose you could almost make the case that we were more the team that looked like the playoff side.
Yeah, I thought probably, especially the first half, was probably the best or one of the best performances we've had all season. Again, like you said, we looked confident on the ball. We passed it around nicely. We looked a threat every time we went forward. And we've seen these sort of performances before. Going back to the Cardiff game, I thought the first half, Reading were really, really top level. And the second half, it was a different side that came out. So it's no surprise to see Reading have one good half. But on this occasion, I thought probably for an hour of the match at least, we was probably, well, definitely the better side. And we carried a threat. We didn't think we rode our luck that much. I think in general, the goalkeeper had a pretty quiet day. And the only thing about Reading, you always know that there's always going to be some sort of sting in the tail, some twist. And to leave it to the 90th minute for them to score, and I think pretty much me, you, and everyone else sat watching it or listening to it on the radio or being there on the day, must have thought, here we go again, typical Reading, confident display, play pretty well, end up throwing it away at the end. But we didn't realise the sort of drama that was going to come on the back end of that. And again, it just shows that under Ince, again, we're not conceding quite as many goals, apart from on Saturday, obviously, as we had done under Paunovic. And we've got this sort of resilience where we sort of keep going and we don't stop. We don't see heads go down. You don't see Reading sort of slinking off and just accepting the defeat. And if Vince has brought us anything, he has brought that sort of will to win, to carry on, that sort of spirit back. A credit to the fans, I've got to say that again. I think I've said all year, I think the fans have been excellent. Getting behind the side, let's face it, been struggling. And again, both games over the Easter weekend, Reading FC fans, well done. I applaud you because they've been absolutely amazing. Even at 4-1 yesterday, not once did you see the fans get on their back. They all got behind them. And it just goes to prove what, if you all come together like that, what could be achieved?
Yeah, 100%. And I was, you know, I was up at Bramall Lane on Friday and I remember saying to my girlfriend, my friend at halftime, I was like, we have to score a second. We are not going to win this game 1-0 because Sheffield United are going to improve in the second half. They are going to come at us. And quite often away from home in particular, you have these moments where you think the first 10 minutes of the second half are going to be so difficult. And actually it wasn't. That was the weird thing, that there wasn't this huge rally from Sheffield United. And yeah, they did get the equaliser, but it was quite scrappy and it didn't really fit the game, it didn't feel like, for me. And to then go up the other end, I mean, You don't need to describe it, do you? You just need to go on the Reading YouTube, watch the highlights, obviously, and then watch the Reading media guy coming out with his phone afterwards on the pitch and filming the scenes and all that sort of stuff. And it was just amazing to see. And it's a team that I think the reason that we didn't really drop our heads in that game was because we weren't actually being outplayed. If we'd have been backs against the wall for 80 minutes and then they conceded, I think we'd have probably been like, we'll take the point. You know, we're not the better team here. But we were the better team for so much of that game. So to have then got the equaliser, it did actually feel like an injustice, which in and of itself was a bit strange.
Yeah, brilliant. And that sort of raises the cheer at the end, doesn't it? The sort of that injustice, that grabbing it at the last minute, sort of smash and grab at the end. Brilliant, absolutely brilliant. And again, we said off air, great, it was a local lad that done it both games, you know what I mean? It's so great to see someone who, let's face it, is probably living our dream, scoring last minute winners or last minute equalizers to get his club and our club out of trouble. So it's been great. It's emotionally draining as always, but that's what you go to football for, isn't it? It's them sort of games that you live for. And it's great that we've had it 2 weeks on the, well, two games on the bounce. Absolutely wonderful scenes. Like I said, I think the Reading fans have been amazing this season. So great to see it. Absolutely brilliant.
Yeah, well, let's talk about Swansea as well then. Reading go 1-0 up in this game quite early on with the penalty that, I mean, I'd say it was a bit soft, to be brutally honest. But
if you'd have been against us, Mark, I think we would have been complaining. But to be fair, there's been numerous occasions at home this season where we should have had blatant penalties, but we haven't got them. So does it even itself up? Maybe, maybe not. But on this occasion, we was the right end of it. But the ref wasn't going to give that. The ref was not interested in giving that penalty. The linesman give that penalty. So well done, Lino. Good spot. Because I didn't see it.
Yeah, no, the referee very clearly on the highlights is not fussed for a good 4 or 5 seconds. And all right, fair enough. I must have missed something. It didn't feel like... Obviously, Swansea got back into the game 2-1 ahead by like the 11th minute or something. And I'm loathe to criticise the defence for the first two goals because, yeah, we do have a habit of standing off players and we aren't particularly great at, you know, forcing ourselves upon teams when we are defending. But they were good strikes and sometimes that's going to happen. And as I guess as the old adage say, it's how you respond to it. And I suppose actually those two strikes we responded appallingly to because we had another two goals and the penalty just before half-time, that's just really not a good idea, is it?
No, I genuinely think in this game, I mean, first half, I was pretty disappointed with Reading, to be fair. As good as they were against Sheffield United, it was as bad as they were against Swansea because they seemed to, and I think Paul Ince pointed at it a bit later on during his interview, that he told them to stand off them. But I just thought the display was really lackluster. Do you know, you're with me on this one? Because they seemed to be, they didn't press the ball very well. If they did, it was kind of half-hearted. I'm going to pick out one player because I want to get your opinion on him as well, Mark, is Dele Bashiru, who got his start first time in a number of weeks. And I think he always looks like he's playing at 75%. I think when he first joined, you thought, oh, we've got a player here. And Watford were saying, well, he's not for sale. Do you know what I mean? We're just sending him out for some experience so we can have him back next year. But he's not pulled up any trees for me. Again, he doesn't seem to play at 100% any of the time. He seems to be sort of 75, 80%. I think this is one of those games where you noticed it even more because he's playing central midfield. He doesn't do enough for me. You know what I mean? There's no grit and desire in him. And if there was, I'm sure we'd have a really good player on our hands. But I thought, especially at this game, it really showed up. And if you watch their goals and watch what Dele Bashiru is doing, he doesn't seem to be trying too hard. Am I being harsh or what's your observations?
Yeah, I think just generally speaking, I'd say that for his experience at Reading, if I was him leaving Reading at the end of the season, I'd be disappointed because he was in a poor team, had a lot of injury problems, and he couldn't actually make himself a first team regular starter in that. He wasn't able to, and the reason he couldn't is because I don't know what his best characteristic is, because you watch him and he's a great athlete, there's no doubt about that, so you would expect him to give 100% and be a good work rate player, but he's just not really. And also, the Cardiff game when he came off the bench and his impact, I think for the second goal in particular, there wasn't an impact that he made on it. So I think then you say, obviously, he's going to be a good defensive kind of midfielder, and no, because he doesn't put himself about enough, and maybe that's just not his game anyway. But then you'd say, oh, well, he must be a good attacking player, and you can tell his technique is good, and he can drive and run on the ball enough, but I just don't feel like that happens enough. Like the actual quantity of him getting involved in the game is enough. So I think, I mean, Watford going down, aren't they really? So maybe he'll be a squad player for them next season. But I would feel for him it's a big opportunity missed this season at Reading. And, you know, you look at players like Danny Drinkwater, Josh Law, and haven't had great seasons, but they've had at least recently some really good spells and have shown what they can do. And I suppose he's just, yeah, ultimately just not been able to do that.
Yeah, I think, again, you said there, I think Drinkwater's really picked up over the last 4 or 5 weeks. I think sort of the game sort of runs through him, which you expected of him back in the day. He doesn't do anything fancy, but what he does do, he moves the ball quickly and he's accurate with his passing 99 times out of 100. So you can see his worth, whether that's because he's getting towards the end of his contract, who knows, but whatever. I think we've got the best out of him over the last 3 or 4 weeks. What was initially a disappointing loan spell. But I think he's proved his worth. But Delhi Bashir, like I say, I don't know what he brings. He doesn't pull up any trees doing anything, does he? He's not great at anything. And he doesn't seem to put in that extra little bit of effort you would expect for someone who wanted to push to get a first team place. So I think, yeah, he's been a disappointing loan spell for his sake. I mean, he thought he could kick on at Reading, but obviously he's not, and he will go back to Watford and probably sit on the bench. So shame for him, but he had his opportunity and to a certain extent he's blown it. But I would also like to say, while we're speaking, I will always say this, Reading are a different team with Lucas Joe in that side. And let's face it, if he wouldn't have come back for injury, we probably would have gone down, because he makes Reading a much better side. Even if he doesn't have a good game, he's such a goal threat and he's such a big sort of imposing sort of player that automatically other teams know his goal record and they're automatically worried about him. Whereas before, even when we had Andy Carroll, we didn't have that up front, did we? We didn't have that sort of talisman player who's going to score lots of goals. Carroll done what he was good at, but he was no threat over the top, so quite easy to mark if you keep him high, you keep a high line. But with Jao, it's just a different prospect. Even a 75% Jao, still better than most strikers in this division. I think his coming back to form and coming back to fitness is basically what saved us this year to a certain extent.
Well, I mean, that finish against Sheffield United was absolutely highest quality, wasn't it? That's that goes past most goalkeepers, doesn't it? High into the roof of the net like that. And that is that. I mean, you look at other players in the Reading team. Does Maite have that in his locker? Probably not so much. None of the kids will have that in their locker. And then Zhao did in the Swansea game. He does kind of the other side of being a striker. Picks up the third goal to make it 4-3. Tomlins made it 4-2 on 61 minutes. Zhao on 71 minutes for 4-3. And then McIntyre, 95th minute for the equaliser. And what kind of sparked this comeback then, do we think? Do we think this is a case of Reading just kind of gathering their thoughts and actually saying, you know what, we've got nothing to lose here? Maybe they did kind of feel like there was no pressure on them, a bit of 2-0 football sort of aspect, or was it a kind of a greater desire and all that sort of stuff? It's more of a team spirit comeback where they just really, really didn't want to lose or something like that. What do you think sparked this comeback?
A little bit of everything, really. I think, like I said, the crowd pretty much stayed behind them. I thought they were great. And that second goal that Tom Ince scored, I think at that point, we had enough time to get back into it, and everyone sort of felt that. Do you know what I mean? We all felt that we could kick on, maybe get another one. We had a good half hour, I think, at that point. And then when the third one went in, then the momentum's with you all of a sudden, and Swansea are looking around at each other, thinking, we're not going to chuck this away. And ultimately, I think it was a great ball. I think it was Danny Drinkwater played it in behind. You'd done really well to need to get that one across to Zhao. A bit of pinball, and it ends up going in. And again, I thought Zhao done well for the goal. Good header, edited it down, didn't panic. And there McIntyre was to sort of slam it in the net again. I mean, he even had a touch in the box and then had to slam it in. So I'm sure their manager wouldn't be particularly happy with that. But did we deserve a draw out of it? No, I thought Swansea were largely a much better side than us throughout the match. But also, I thought Reading were lacklustre and were playing at sort of 80%. It wasn't until they decided to actually, let's go for it and threw caution to the wind, like you said, that they did get some out of it. And it was just a great, I don't think anyone see it coming when it went 4-1. But it's just a great end to two matches over Easter. And basically, it's pretty much saved us, isn't it? Those goals, Tom McIntyre's goals, has probably give us Championship football again next year, which I think the three teams below us, good job they was in the league this year. I mean, Derby's not entirely their own fault, the players especially. But Barnsley and Peterborough have been poor all season. And it's just, I think them are the three teams that probably deserve to go down. And looks like that's the way it's going to happen. I did also, I don't know if you watched this, but was watching the EFL highlights this morning. And all credit to the Derby fans as well. Do you know what I mean? They stayed there, clapped their team off despite relegation. And you'd expect a team like that come straight back up. But like Rooney said, he's got no idea what he's going to be left with next year. So it could be one of those cases that they stay down and even drop another division, which you wouldn't have seen coming years ago when Reading turned up there and Ravanelli was up front for him in the Championship. So maybe that's part of the problem. I don't know.
Yeah, it all stems back, does it? I think, yeah, I mean, looking at the table, we've got 7 points now on Peterborough and a much better goal difference. So in reality, just need 2 points out of the last three games and they'll need to win them all. Barnsley, I guess they can just about catch us. But again, 2 points would kill them off as well. So Reading now, I think we can say virtually safe. I mean, there will be a debate, and probably this is to have at the end of the season, as to whether we were lucky that Derby had 21 points taken off them. I mean, I guess, yeah, by the general fact of it, but also we had 6 points taken off us. And in a world where no one gets any points taken off them, Birmingham are the team that are last in the relegation zone. So, you know, we can probably all have our own opinions on that and probably be difficult to sway those who feel strongly one way or the other. But what it means really is that now hopefully we can start looking towards next season. A quick thought on that then is whether this, I mean, obviously we know how the Sheffield United game will make us feel in this regard, but does the Swansea game make you want to have Paul Ince as the manager more or less? Because, yeah, we had the comeback and that's great, but we were 4-1 down at home to Swansea. And I think Paunovic had that at some point. I think Gomez had that at some point. And all those guys ultimately didn't stay around very long. Even in our current situation, we know that the owners, Dayong specifically, is going to want promotion at some point in the next year or 2 years or 3 years, whatever that's going to be. Do we really think that they're going to look at Paul Ince as the guy to do that? I mean, we're not going to get promoted drawing 4-all at home to Swansea, of course. So I just feel that there is still an argument that this club is going to want more. Whether that means they go for Ince or not, I mean, it really is absolutely anyone's guess as to whether they're going to go with him. But my gut feeling at the moment is that I still wouldn't necessarily take him for another season, because we've had these sort of runs, haven't we, under Gomez. Even Clement got us away from relegation, that sort of stuff. We have been here before, haven't we?
We have, but I think the difference is this time, it's a very tricky situation we've found ourselves in. I mean, we're going to, hopefully, we should do, stay up now. We've got a hell of a lot of players out of contract. And the only hope we've got, I think, of having a half-decent side next year, and I thought about this a lot, to be honest with you, is Paul Ince would have, he's got a rapport with them players now, you know? I think Josh Laurent said to Della, was it yesterday, that he's enjoying his football more than he ever has. And if that's the case, if Ince has brought this sort of spirit back, they may, knowing he's in charge, some of the sort of players we don't particularly want to lose, we may be able to keep hold of them just because Paul Ince is in charge. Maybe if they say, well, we're going to get a new manager at the end of the season, these players might think, well, I don't think Reading are going anywhere now and we're going to shoot off and seek pastures new. It's tricky, isn't it? Because like I said, he's in the changing room with them now. If he's got that rapport with them and he says to them, like, I'm going to be here for the next 2 years, I want you to be with me, and they say, okay, yeah, I believe in you, let's go. It could be a great thing for the club just to keep hold of your sort of core strength for your side. But who's going to want the job? There's so many anomalies around Reading at the moment. No one really knows what's going to happen next year. I think most of us are sort of worried that next year could be worse than this. We've got a lot of loan players, a lot of people out of contract. It's a concern, and I don't think you're going to get an established manager that's going to want to take it. So they're going to have to take a punt. And to be fair to Ince, I mean, he's done pretty well. I mean, we've always known we've had the players there to get results in the Championship, because we've gone to Fulham and beat them. We've gone to Bournemouth and probably should have beat them. Sheffield United we've gone and beat. Do you know what I mean? There's a lot of teams at the top that we've given good games to and beaten that are probably going to get promoted this year. So it was there, and at the moment, you'd have to say that Ince is probably getting the best out of them. The spirit's definitely back. Like I said, the fans are behind him all the way. So to replace him now, I think you might end up shooting yourself in the foot. And let's face it, most of the managers we've got over the last couple of appointments have been foreign managers, no idea about the Championship. Where we're going to get our players from is Kia going to get some players from Portugal and Brazil that we've never heard of? And sort of they come good. You really, so many anomalies that I think they're going to have to convince the job. And I genuinely think that in the short term, it's probably going to be the right decision for Reading as a club. Long term, probably not. But if he can sort of spark us, keep the core of the team and do relatively well next year, then I think that is basically where we are, aren't we? I can't see us pushing for promotion in the next 2-3 seasons unless there's something I don't know about or we all don't know about.
Yeah, I mean, I'll give you a hypothetical in that case then. If, I mean, it's a bit cynical, I know, but I really struggle to see Josh Lauren, unless, I mean, again, like personal situations, he might love living around here or whatever. I think he was obviously not too far away, Shrewsbury, not miles away beforehand, so maybe this is his neck of the woods sort of thing. But if Josh Lauren has a contract in front of him for Norwich next season for 20 grand a week, and he says, you know what, I'll turn it down and stay at Reading on a quarter of that because I love Paul Ince. And if that is what's going to happen, then brilliant, I'll take it. I love Paul Ince, Yeardom, Rinamotta, Holmes, etc. If they all sign up on the basis that Paul Ince stays, then yeah, I'll perfectly happily have it. Whether that, I just don't, for players like Lauren, I'm just not sure I can see it happen. I suppose when it comes to the alternative, I mean, I think we're obviously going to need a manager who's got a bit of some contacts, bit of, you know, transfer, a bit of help really for the club to bring in some players that that he knows. And there's only apart from Tom Ince, I don't know who else Paul Ince his regular contacts and goes to. I'm sure he has them, and that is the problem of bringing in someone who is, you know, from Portugal or Holland like we've done before, because where their contacts aren't going to be particularly in the English game. The only other type of manager I can see us getting is like a kind of Lee Johnson type, like a League One manager. And that could work really well. You know, Gareth Ainsworth, I think I plucked out a few weeks ago, is a sort of manager who might be able to come in with their own culture, with their own contacts, with a fresh approach. And that might really work for Reading on a budget kind of sort of building again. But we can also very easily hand over the reins to a League One manager for next on a 4-year contract, let them bring in all of their players and rebuild the club and then not win any games. So Paul Ince, I guess, at the moment of those options is fundamentally, I guess, the most likely to win those games.
Yeah, it's kind of better the devil you know, I think. I mean, I understand, and again, I get it as well, that you think, well, Paul Ince has been out of the game for 8 years. He's took a punt with Reading, but was it, I mean, like I said, we had the players, it wasn't really a punt, but next year is so shrouded in mystery at the moment that would it be wrong to change it now? Do you know what I mean? Unless you've got some grand plan, which I'm sure Reading haven't, because they haven't seemed to have one for quite some time. You think, well, just stick with what you know, see who wants to stay next year. I mean, Lucas Joe exclusive. I spoke to him yesterday as he came out of the ground, had his picture taken with my son. And I said to him, you're not going to leave us next year, are you? And he sort of laughed and then jumped in his car. So make of that what you will. But if you end up losing him and Maytay, because let's face it, they're our only real saleable assets at the moment. They're the only two players you're going to get some serious money for. If you end up having to sell them two, then you really are struggling, I think, to get a striker in who's going to, well, be at that level. Let's face it, we won't get one unless you take a punt on someone who we've never heard of and it comes good. But I think they go to the same, they do the same as they've done this year and have done for the last couple of years. We'll be going to Chelsea and teams like that and trying to take 2 or 3 players off them in the hope that they bulk our squad up. But long term, that's no way to get promoted out of this division, is it? So the fear is that there's so many anomalies that I think you're going to have to stick with what you got and hope that next year is a bit better than this.
Yeah, I mean, the final point I'd say on it, we'll hear from Tom McIntyre, actually. We'll get his take on that he gave to the club after the game to round up the recap. I suppose the point that you made a minute ago is the kind of final point that I'll say is that Reading as a club, if we are going to have a grand plan and have a real good 5-year idea or 3-year idea of what we want as the future, and we're going to enact it and we're going to put the money in the right places and we're going to be really intelligent about it, brilliant. I don't care who the manager is, so long as you have that plan. But when have we had that plan ever? Like when has this football club ever come up with that sort of plan? It just doesn't. So we probably don't. And therefore, maybe Paul Ince is just the right man to take us through, carry the bag, essentially. It would almost feel like, hopefully, you know, we say these things, we're wrong. But, you know, that might just be the situation that we find ourselves in, because Reading have given themselves, since sacking Pavlovich, there was this grandiose long-term search for a manager. And I suppose at least in the next few weeks, we'll find out the result of that. And if the result of that is Paul Ince and it didn't, you know, then I think we'll know exactly where we stand with that sort of thing for the club. Right then, let's hear from Tom Akitar, and then we'll go into the mailbag.
Been a really tough year for a lot of different reasons. The 6-point deduction has been a big one. And I know people say, oh, well, if you got 6 points, you'd only just be outside the relegation zone anyway. But at the same time, it's demoralising getting that points deduction, because that's two big wins that you just get wiped off. So, there's been various other things that have gone on as well. And it's been tough, but I think those can be forgotten now. And we can look forward and, try and make sure that this doesn't, we don't see ourselves in this situation again.
Keep up to date with all things Reading FC. Follow the Tilehurst End on Facebook and Twitter.
Steve Curtis, friend of the show, starts us off saying, when does Tom Akitar get his statue? I think kind of working forward, I think about 2040, sounds about right.
hopefully.
Yeah, he's got a little while to go, hasn't he? Pedro, obviously a few Paul Ince questions, which we'll try and be as specific as possible, saying, are the Reading fan base flip-flopping with Ince being the main man for the job? Are we just reliving the short-term Jose Gomez feel-good factor? And would it really be a good idea to offer both Paul Ince and Tom Ince contracts for next season? Sam Michael saying, Ince clearly has the squad behind him, but regardless of tactics, as a strong, charismatic personality in football, is he the manager to put the board in their place and demand his say on player signings? I think we've kind of discussed, obviously, in the flip-flopping sense. I think I totally understand why fans are flip-flopping. I probably am myself, because it is difficult. As what we've just spoken about, it is tough. But I mean, specifically Tom Ince, free agent, end of the season then, would you give him a contract?
Tom Ince frustrates me. I don't know how a player 30 years old can't use his right foot. I think it's embarrassing as a professional footballer. But I will say this. Tom Ince is a proven player at this level in a championship. And at the stage we are now, I think we need a few of them players around. I don't particularly like him as a footballer. Like I said, I don't like professional footballers who can't use their other foot. It really winds me up. I think there's no excuse for it. But he has got drive. He is well known at this level. He does score goals. So at the stage we are at the moment, I think for a free agent, it's not a bad free agent to have. Ideally, I'd want him on the bench because there's better players in the side. But you'd have to say at the moment, he probably is. Well, he's a starter anyway, but he probably is at a level to start at Reading. So for that basis, does he improve our squad? Yes. So personally, if his dad's going to be here, I'm sure he'll be here. So at the moment, I'd have to say yes, but that doesn't mean I think he's particularly great, if that makes sense.
Yeah, no, I understand that, because I kind of think the same with Hoylett, to be honest. And if you said to me we're going to give both another 1-year deal, and I'd say absolutely fine, particularly given how few players we're going to have next season from this point. And the fact that if we sign better players than those of our bench players, then great. I don't particularly think we are going to do that. But at some point, I suppose, with these players, you know, they are, as you say, like what Ince is actually getting a bit on now. Feels a bit weird saying that, because I remember him being like a youthful prospect. Feels like he's always been that sort of player. But at some point, these players aren't going to be as good. They are going to tail off a little bit. And I suppose, do you want to be the year that Tom Ince does tail off into being a League One, League Two player, or Hoylett or something? But yeah, I think probably just at the moment, because of the way the club is looking for the squad next season, I think you do give him a contract. When it comes to Ince being the man to put the board in their place and demand his say on player signings, I mean, what sort of team do you think Paul Ince would want to put together next season? Because obviously he's had no say on this team, and he's going to have a lot of say next season when there's 12, 15 players we need to go and sign. What sort of team do we envisage this is going to be? Do we think it's going to be a kind of rough and ready 4-4-2 sort of team, or one that kind of knocks it about, or a bit of in between? Or
do you know what? I think most managers play in their own sort of own stamp. And I mean, I'm a bit older than you, so I've probably seen Paul Ince play quite a lot. But we all knew that Paul Ince was a very, very good footballer. I mean, he played in Italy, played for Man United, he's won all sorts. He played for England numerous occasions, probably had over 40, 50 caps for England. you know what I mean? He is a very, very, he was a very, very good footballer. And what points used to give you is used to give you combat. You know, he would fight, he would kick, but he could play. Do you know what I mean? He was a good footballer. He used to get the odd goal here and there, but he was a good all-round central midfielder. And if he could bring that to management, if you could bring that to your side, I think none of us could really complain. If you see Reading sort of, do you know what I mean, more combative, getting forward, good on the ball. I don't want to see a team overplay. We don't want to see Yapstam's 50 passes at the back and get nowhere because it's pointless. And we haven't got a player to do it. I've said this a million times. Every time Holmes and Mac and Morrison try and take a touch on the ball, frightens me to death. So I don't particularly want them to be playing this sort of expansive, let's get it at the back, pass it around a million times. I think we want to play championship football. And I think Paul Wince will bring that if he brings his own playing style to his managerial style, because that's the sort of player he was. And you'd expect him to demand the standards that he set for himself as a player onto the team. And if he does that, I don't think any of us would complain, because all we want to see as a fan is them players out on the pitch give you all they've got every week. And if at the end of the game they've got beat, there's not a fan there that's going to boo them off the pitch. And that's all you expect. And that's all we want, I think, as fans. And if they do that, then great.
Yeah, but I think in that sense, he is quite well suited, isn't it? Because, I mean, you think of the, obviously, you know, the McDermott teams and all that sort of stuff. They did give you all of that. Didn't necessarily have the best quality, but their mentality and their attitude really brought them through. And we'll discuss this more in a second, actually. But for a team like Reading, for the last 3-4 years, generally speaking, just hasn't given you 100% for 90 minutes on, probably can count all of those occasions on one hand, can't you, for like the last 3-4 years. So if that is what Inter can bring, and if he can bring a team that does just throw itself into everything and is fit and works hard and all that sort of stuff, then yeah, I think that is the vibe I get as well. I think that's what Paul Ince is going to give you. He's not going to turn up with a formation you've never heard of before. And he's not going to, because I suppose this is one of the things I'm concerned about, is that previously we've given managers who have done really well, Pavlovic and Stam namely, have done really well for periods, but then they've got found out because of their system was particularly interesting one way or another, and then teams worked out how to play it, and then we've got stuck, basically. With Ince, there's probably less chance of that happening, because he's not going to do anything that teams are going to have to work out as such. We're going to play a pretty straightforward game of football. And yeah, we're not going to have amazing players, but you know what I mean? Do you know what I mean? We're not going to get found out as much if we're only just knocking it around and going down the wing and putting it in the box, are we? Like, that's not as much of a danger.
No, I just think we've had, under Ince, you have an honest side, and as long as you've got an honest side, you've got half a chance. I mean, I've liked some of the things he's done since he's taken over. He's sort of moved Josselaar on a bit further forward, whether that was by design or sort of by chance, irrelevant. He's sort of found a position that we didn't think he could play or he hadn't played for us. I think he is, because he's a big, strong lad, he's automatically a threat in this division. It's half the battle. If you're big, powerful, win a championship, then you're half a decent player in a championship. We've got players into the box, which I've complained about for seasons, that you watch Reading and they've got two players in the box. You watch every other half-decent championship side, they got 5-6 players in the box. And that's how they're scoring goals. I mean, if you look at the top 6 or 7 teams this year, whenever they're attacking, there's 4 or 5 players in the box. And Reading have started doing it now, because teams are not good enough to catch you on a break. And if they do, then fair play to them. But it will happen 6 times out of your 46 games. It won't happen like it will in the Premier League, happen every game, and you get caught and hurt. So that is what Reading need to do going forward. And Ince has brought that. He's picked that up pretty quickly. Championship football, just fill the box up, wait for the drop downs. You'll win more games than you lose. So that's been good. So I just think Paul Ince will give you an honest team and make the players honest. And as long as they do that, then that should stand them in good stead. So again, it's another sort of point to Ince if we're going to do a pros and cons.
Yeah, we could probably do a 3-hour podcast on pros and cons. Maybe we will for the end of the season if the decision's not been made by then. Final couple of questions then. Paul Towner, and get your questions into the Tyler Sten Twitter mainly. We always put our call out for questions, and obviously the Facebook and the Tarlist End at gmail.com as well, our email. And on this, if you go and see the picture or the question that Paul Towner's asked, then why was the bloke who jumped on the pitch at the end wearing a massive, thick, woolly coat in that hot weather? Of which you can see the picture, jumped in front of the East Stand, actually, and he has got a big old thick woolly coat on. Maybe he's going to pull his hood up so he doesn't get caught by the stewards as he runs out or something. to get the check on that if you want to go on the Twitter. And then Mav sent, are we all in the same boat with reference to Andy Carroll rowing us along? I think we might be in a bit of a different boat now compared to Swansea away under Pounderich with Andy Carroll. And you look at that photo, funny enough, I've got Carroll, Deli Bashiri, Swift, Lauren and Scott Dan. Only one of those really, maybe one half if you count Deli Bashiri, played on the weekend anyway. So most of those players aren't really in the team anymore at the club. And then Courtney Friday saying, is this the best team spirit since Brian McDermott? Which I'm probably going to have to say no at this point, Westy, because I remember I'd probably actually say the answer to this question is Yap Stam's team that got to the playoff final, because we would quite, you know, five or six times a season get absolutely pumped. And then we turn up the next week and win a couple games. So I'd say that was probably the best team spirit we've had over the last sort of decade.
Saying that, it's pretty good at a Gomez when we saved us the first time round. I thought for that last seven, eight games of the season, I thought it was a good team spirit then. But over the course of the season, you're probably right.
Yeah, I think Gomez is worth a shout as well. But it's as Pedro said in his question, it's kind of similar to what we're at now. And that is the big question for Reading. How do we make sure we're not sacking Paul Ince in October and starting the whole shebang again? We'll find out in the next few weeks and months, I guess. Now let's move on to the news bites and I'll quickly wrap you up for what's going on around the club this week.
For all the latest Reading news, analysis and opinion, visit the website at thetilehurstend.com.
Right then, the women's team, I mean, there's very short news bites this week, mainly because women's team aren't in action until the 24th. They've got West Ham. Just to catch you up on them, they've got three games left this season. Leicester and Man City also coming up. Under-23s are into the Barks and Bucks Cup final after beating MK Dons 4-0 in the semi-final. Kamara, Scott, Levy and Clark on the score sheet for that. They've got Fulham on the 24th. With two games left, they are trying to avoid the wooden spoon at the bottom of Premier League 2, Division 2. So hopefully, I think it's Sunderland, the team above them, which they might be playing last game of the season. And the under-18s, they've got Crystal Palace on April 23rd. Four games left for them. And they sit 10th in the Premier League South. So a pretty decent season, all things accounted for, given who they are playing in that South division, Chelsea, Arsenal, etc. Right then, let's go on to Big Match Preview. Talk about going to Hull.
Be loud and be proud and back the boys and make some noise. Come on, you Oz!
Shout out to this week's podcast sponsor, ZCZ Films, showing that age is no barrier to being a hooly hoop.
Saturday, April 23rd, 3 o'clock kickoff, up to Hull. And Westy, this is officially the worst team at home in the league. They average a point a game at home. And Reading can put a nice little bow on their season if they go and get the win this weekend, can't they?
Yeah, it'd be nice to sort of get it done, wouldn't it, as well, this Saturday. Because the next two games, you kind of worry about if we need points. But I'd have thought one way or another, whether we win or not, I think probably this weekend would be signed, sealed and delivered with a bit of luck. But it'd be nice just to do it under our own steam rather than teams losing and obviously us staying up because of that. I think Barnes are playing on Friday as well, aren't they? So with no their fate, I'd have thought against Huddersfield playing.
Yeah.
And Peter at home to Forest, if I'm correct in thinking. So yep, both pretty difficult games for both of them. I mean, you would be surprised if both of them won. But no, in Championship, anything could happen. So they might well do. But you'd have thought it'd been done by this weekend. And I think Hull got exactly the same record as us for wins and draws and defeats. So it's probably got a draw written all over it, to be fair.
Yeah, they actually have as well. 6 points clear of us, obviously. They've won 4, drawn 3 and lost 5 of their last 12. So not on a horrific run or anything like that. It's just, I mean, there's not a huge amount to say about this game, I suppose, other than that Reading are in the period now, hopefully at least, where because the season is effectively done, I can see us going one or two ways. And we kind of saw both against Swansea. We're either going to kind of take our foot off the pedal and not be particularly good, or we'll play with the shackles loose and go and, you know, go and score some goals and have some fun. I'm actually semi-confident it'll be the latter. But yeah, I suppose in reality, let's hope that it's a game that ultimately the result of which doesn't matter, and the fans going up to Hull will have a nice day out, and that's kind of the more important thing for this team, to play for them and to get a result. Prediction league-wise, none of us predicted a win at Sheffield United. Myself and Westy and Adam all said we're going to get a Swansea draw. So we're very tight at the top with Westy and Ollie tied on 29 points for the prediction league. Adams on 27. I'm in fourth on 22. Sim 20, Ben 18, and then Handbags on 17 at the bottom. So this one then, Westy, what are you going to say for a prediction?
All to play for then, is it? I'm going to stick with what I suggested. We've got the same record, so it's going to be the same record. It's going to carry on, I think. It'll be another 1-1 draw.
Yeah, I think 1-1 is a good shout. I'm going to go for a 2-1 Reading win. It does. I'm fairly optimistic we're in that stage now, because when this team has had pressure on it, it's kind of folded a little bit. But as we've seen going to places like Sheffield United and Fulham and Bournemouth, that when, you know, when the shackles are off, I do think we are a better team for it. So I'll go for the win. We're not going to keep clean sheet, though. That seems fairly unlikely. Although Bournemouth has improved the defence, we are now almost the worst defence in the league. 82 goals conceded this year. Only Peterborough's got one worse. But then only, I think, about only 7 or 8 teams have scored more goals than us this year. So, yeah, I think we can count on some goals this weekend, and hopefully we can count on some points as well. So, Westy, thank you very much for joining us this week.
It's my pleasure. I'm just going to say before we leave, I think I've been top of that prediction league all season, so it'd be just like me to chuck it away at the end. So whatever I go for, please back against Gamble Away.
Absolutely. There's only one way that these things can go, and it's always Sod's Law, isn't it? So yes, we'll be back after the whole game. Thanks very much for joining us for what has been it's been an unusual show in a sense, Westy, I guess, in that we've had the absolute elation, and yet we probably spent most of the time talking about whether we want to keep the manager or not, which I suppose some clubs would probably look at us and think we're absolutely mad.
Yeah, they would. I'm so excited this weekend. I've got my spark back for watching Reading, which I think most of us have lost over the course of the season. So that's one good thing you've got to say has happened over the Easter period.
Yeah, definitely. And I do. And we have this conversation about Paul Lintz with kind of optimism, because it's actually a conversation that it's nice to have. Do we want a guy who has done well, basically? And it's a bit of a luxury in that sense. And hopefully Reading make the right decision and everything's all well for next season. But we've got 3 games left this year now. Almost there. We are so nearly guaranteed for Championship football for next season. Hopefully when we talk to you in a week's time, that will all be signed, sealed and delivered, and we can talk about Reading in the Championship again for at least another season. Until then, as always, thank you for listening, and come on, you Arse.
You smile, funny how the crumbs